This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Lee Chui Lin, and this hour we're looking at what needs to be done to future-proof our food supply, which is about securing our food supplies as the government formed a cabinet committee on national food security policy. It's being chaired by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and it's going to propose strategies on national food security in four areas. And those four areas are availability, accessibility, food safety and nutrition, and then stability and sustainability. Food security, I think, has been a real concern this year, not just in Malaysia, but worldwide. But this is happening, of course, as borders are closing, supply chains were disrupted, and it's affected us. Vietnam, for instance, suspended rice exports to Malaysia in March, and the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Industry had to reassure us that the country had enough rice reserves to last 2.5 months. Now, to avoid potential food shortages in the future, experts have actually urged the government to become self-sufficient. And that's something that I'm really, really curious about, actually. I want to know how self-sufficient we currently are and how sustainable our supply chain is. So we are going to be doing that after this with Professor Datin Paduka Fatima Mohamed Arshad, who is a senior fellow with IDEAS. If you have a question on food security and the supply chain here in our country, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about food security and securing our food supply chain here in the country. This is coming as the government formed a cabinet committee on that very issue, on national food security policy. So if you have any questions on the subject, send them our way. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now is Professor Datin Paduka Fatima Mohamed Arshad, Senior Fellow at IDEAS, that's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Prof, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lynn.
So for starters, could you maybe help us understand what a sustainable food supply chain looks like?
All right. Sustainable food supply chain has three dimensions. They are ecological, equity, as well as economics. When one talks about ecology, it means that we want the system to be, you know, sustainable, free of diseases, if possible, and free of calamities such as landslide, and of course problems such as toxics or over chemical fertilizer and so on. Mm-hmm. Equitable distribution of profit along supply chain is important because we don't want to have labor who are, you know, poorly paid, and you might run the risk of them leaving our farms, or, you know, they go to other countries. And of course, the economic aspect of it, we need to have reasonable or fair prices to producers, as well as reasonable profit to market players, so that they can retain in the industry. If there is not enough profit, you know, say for example, there are some small mills in the rice industry, they don't have enough profit, so they die off, you know. So we only have big mills. So we don't have a very competitive market there. So we need some reasonable profit to retain them in that supply chain. And also, when one talk about economics, it's also about the logistics or the physical distributional aspect. We need to have good transport, good storage, you know, good handling process, and so on. So these three factors make up a sustainable food supply system, then.
And considering the metrics, as you've listed them out, are pretty clear, mm-hmm. How sustainable is Malaysia's food supply chain, and also how delicate or maybe how easily disrupted might it be?
You use the word delicate. Yes, it is delicate, as proven under the MCO, yeah, where we saw, we never thought that supply disruption could occur, but it did occur. Right. I think the textbook says that a good, efficient supply system provides this four utilities. That means it is delivered at the right time, at the right place, the right form of product, and, of course, ownership. So if one of the functions cannot be realized, say for example during MCO, it didn't come at the right time, at the right product, so you know it causes inefficiency or disruption. And unlike other products like tin product or canned products, most food are fresh produce. We need vegetables, like fruits and so on. They cannot be stored for a long time. So when we had the MCO and the area restriction, so there was a kind of disruption in terms of physical flow. So those produce don't reach the market. Yeah. So some of the producers I heard in Cameron Highlands, they have thrown away their vegetables, and the flower producers, they have thrown away their beautiful flowers. You know. So our supply system is quite, as you say, delicate and vulnerable in that sense. Going back to the word supply chain, it's made up of many chains. So if one chain is broken and at even one point, the whole thing will be collapsed. You know, we saw that in MCO when the government closed the wholesale center, and you know very well that center, wholesale center is the hub for all the distribution, the biggest hub, because it is from wholesaler, it is distributed to retailers or small-time wholesalers or even institutional consumers or even consumers themselves, you know. So it is the meeting point of buyers as well as sellers. When that center is closed down, so it caused a very big disruption in our supply system. And also the geographical distribution of producing centers compared to consumption centers. You know very well that Selangor depends on Cameron Highlands and some other areas in Johor for supplies. So during MCO, those supplies have been cut off, right? And the area movement has cut off the supply, the smooth supply of this commodity. Mm-hmm. That's why in the West there are movement towards what we call community supported agriculture. That means people or consumers in that area kind of gives contract to the producers in that area surrounding the city or the place where they live, and they kind of decide what to produce and so on. This is to make sure that they see what has been produced, in terms of what fertilizer they have used, whether they use child labor, and of course the bigger aspect of it to reduce food miles, right? Food miles mean the traveling of food all over the world. Say, for example, our children are eating French fries from Canada, from Europe, and this costs so many planes traveling, right, all over the world. And this has increased the fossil fuel footprint, and damaged the air. Of course, this is an environmental aspect, but geographical displacing costs also a problem to us during the COVID time.
And I wanted to extend your analogy about the chain, because as you rightly point out, we saw some breaks in that chain during the MCOs, during COVID-19. So what is the answer then? Is it to create more links so that we are able to diversify that? Is it to strengthen those links? How can we resolve some of those issues?
Yeah, this pandemic is something that we never expect, right? We never expected it. It is unexpected, unprecedented, and the worst part is there's no time and space limit thus far. You know, we don't know when the vaccine will come out. We heard that those scientists at Oxford, they have discovered some vaccine, but they found out that one of the patients became sick, so they have to withhold the experiment. And they are supposed to be at the front compared to the other vaccine producers. So our hope is dashed there. Right, we were caught by surprise because this is the first time we are facing it. Unlike Vietnam, they had SARS before, so they were ready for it. So when we had three digits new cases, we had zero. But lately they have some problems, new cases, but not as many as us. So, going back to your question, what should we do? Of course, I think Malaysia did pretty well curbing the COVID cases. Yeah, I mean, so far we had only 125 deaths compared to other countries, they go in thousands. And I would say for short-term, solution, we did quite well in the sense that the government came down to the field and, you know, giving out handouts and various supports to the victims, mm-hmm. or those who have been marginalized. But long-term, that's a different issue.
We do have a question from Sharon from Bandar Kinrara, who says, it is futile doing anything about food security when the authorities haven't figured out water security. Get water security right first and then food security will fall into place. How would you respond?
Oh dear, water security, we were surprised, right, that it happened. Mm. I think for Malaysia, we have enough supply of water. The sources of water is plenty from the river, from the rain, right? We have plenty of water, but it's about, to me, the way I look at it is the management of water distribution, that is where the fault line is. And the recent case shows really exhibit our, inefficiency in managing water flow or water management, or to ensure that consumers get clean water. The fact that that factory doing something to the water by throwing the diesel into the river, that is a no-no in our system. They should be curbed. They should be monitored, and we fail to monitor them. And as a result, we have a water crisis every now and then. Not only environmental factors, but also development. I'm staying in PJ, and I heard so many, I think in 1 year we have, more than 2-digit crisis, you know, every now and then because of developmental work everywhere in this area. So basically to me, it's about management. Supply is there. Of course, demand is on the rise, but the way you manage water, remember those countries with the limited water, for example, some countries in Australia, for example, they have little water, much more less than us, but they manage their water well. Sorry.
Oh, no, I just wanted to know, so far when we talk about the disruptions, as you rightly say, right, like a lot of it has taken many of us by surprise, but considering we are living through the pandemic right now, do you think that the pandemic itself has reshaped how governments and experts worldwide think about food security?
Yes, I think it reveals a lot of things to everyone, right? It opens up our shortcomings, right? And they are all so obvious. Number one, when we had that MCO, remember those Selayang workers, they demonstrated, right? The wholesalers also demonstrated because they were they had no businesses. And we saw that all the workers there are migrant laborers, Bangladeshi, the Myanmar and so on. They even had houses and places at the wholesale market, where they live at the wholesale market. That is unthinkable. And then not only in at the hotel level, in fact, along the supply chain, we have migrant laborers to help our food sector, right? And of course, they are cheap, but we forgot that, of course, we pay them cheap. The corporate sector like to pay them cheap, but we forgot that there are big outflow of foreign exchange to pay them, right? So our foreign exchange is going outside the country. At the same time, we are buying input for production. So in the end, it leaves little margins to our producers. That's why their margin is not that much, So it's not attractive. And they are cheap, they are agile, they can be easily hired and fired. As a result, there is no innovation in supply chain, right? We're dependent on them minimally. There's not much innovation that has come out of this year. And of course, the social cost. You know, many foreigners. We saw the latest data that many foreigners brought in the COVID-19 diseases to our country. Right, and also we saw that despite of our improvement in economy, better, good GDP growth, higher income, number three in ASEAN. But look at our wholesale and retail market, particularly wholesale, is dirty, is unhealthy, and backward. In terms of facilities, in terms of processes, You can see that, so much waste. If you go to Pasar Selayang, for example, you'd be surprised that the floor is dirty with sireh, you know, and the drains are all clogged up. And also the system is very old. Our system of marketing or even price discovery is still, you'd be surprised, confinement is still active. Price using what we call whispering system. It's not an open system, right? So if you have a good relationship or you're a big buyer or seller, you can gain better pricing. So it's not that fair or not very competitive. And of course, the logistics, the handling, the packaging, they are all very old and inefficient, right? I think if we compare ourselves with Bangkok, you'd be surprised. We are just so much to catch up with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just want to mention that I'm not a scientist, but from what I read, the Wuhan wholesale market could be the source of COVID-19, right? Because it's dirty and lots of wild animals there. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry to have to cut you off, Prof, but we do have to hit to the news. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah.
That was Professor Datin Paduka Fatima Muhammad Arshad, Senior Fellow at IDEAS, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, talking to us about food security in the country. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.